Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we're speaking to beautiful Julie.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Look, the sun's out.
Yeah, it's a bit cold.
But it was raining all night.
Yes, it was.
I was freezing at the bus stop.
Yes.
Which I obviously wasn't catching a bus. Well, I might have been, but I was.
And yesterday we went to talk and I didn't have enough clothes on. I was freezing.
We did a speaking gig at a school, and it was such a beautiful school.
Yeah.
Amazing school hall.
Maybe I don't know.
Bring a jacket.
I just thought, oh yeah, I'll be fine.
It's inside.
Yeah. Anyway.
You forget.
That's all right. Okay.
We're summer.
Yeah,
and
that's
now
right.
We're winter. May comes.
Pretty boom. Much end of April, everything turns.
Yep.
So that's cold. Melbourne. She's we are cold. In heading into winter.
I think today's like a top of 14.
Yeah. Molly, she knows that bomb every day. She's like 15 and then they're looking at snow in Tasmania.
It snowed in the Alps.
Did
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hoffman Falls Creek
anyway,
dusting. Yeah.
We are here. We have someone in the pod bar. It's exciting.
It is yes. Exciting. It's rare these days.
Yes. So, yeah. So would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Yes. This is my friend Julie. I've known Julie for a long time. She was working with my friend Rebecca, who we've had on the podcast before.
Yep.
And that's how we met.
Yep.
But we're going to find out all about her. So
we really will. Are.
Yeah.
We'll start with our three questions that everybody has to run the gauntlet of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So our first question is, do you have any music or a band or a song that either picks you up in the down times or you like to sit with in the good times?
I do. This was an easy one. Although I'm not really a musical kind of person.
Yeah.
I've got to say that. But
Ah.
Take On Me.
Take On Me.
Oh, yes.
One of the greatest songs.
Might have been listening to it on the way.
Oh, beautiful.
But their greatest hits.
Oh, yeah.
In My Car.
Yeah.
Hunting
High and Low. Yeah. Great album.
I love that song. It's one that always just makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It makes me want to dance.
It is a great song.
I love it. And I love the film clip.
I remember when it came out, just riveted. Like, yeah. He was trying to get out of the bin, the paper script. Oh.
Yeah, it was groundbreaking technology.
It was. Yeah. It was. I went and saw them actually. Did you go to? Yep.
I did. 2020.
Yeah, yeah. Just pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Yep.
I bought a AHA jacket, a denim jacket that says AHA.
Yep. I should have worn my t-shirt.
You should have. I'm a tragic fan.
You're wearing beautiful green. I am. So thanks for wearing the colour.
Pea green. You look good in the photo at the end.
I know. You look gorgeous. What about, did you win any awards at school or any time?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I have to say, I often say to people, particularly when I meet kids and my nieces and nephews, I was pretty average at most stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Like sport, academics. I never was really the kid that I was really known for anything. You know, there was always the kids that were arty or were great at stuff. I was pretty average.
Yeah.
But in saying that, and it did bring back a good memory, in 1989, I got a hockey award in year seven.
Yeah.
So, and at my school, we had like a pocket, like on you, you got like a pocket award. So I had like hockey in 89 on your
blazer.
On your blazer.
Pretty cool.
It was cool. I still have it.
Yeah, we need a photo of that.
But it was like my school was tiny and very average at sport. And I got this amazing goal and had this amazing moment out of nowhere. And we did really well that year. And I got I got that award.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But it was pretty one out of the box.
Well,
maybe they count so much more.
Yeah, it does.
Like if you're exceptional at hockey, you'd be like, I got hockey awards.
But
yeah,
no. But I'm going to keep that blazer forever.
Oh, Julie. We need a photo of that.
I was going to bring it. Yeah. I thought that was a bit too tragic.
No, it's not. No,
nothing's tragic for us.
No.
We love all that stuff.
Yeah, we really do.
Okay, and our big question is, why are you a pea or a friend of the peas?
Well, probably in a couple of ways.
Yeah.
Because I'm a social worker and work in disability at the moment.
Right.
But I also have a lived experience of disability and was born with a hand difference.
Mm.
So for me, because that means something different to everyone. So for me, my left hand, I've got a partial palm and a little bit of a thumb.
Mm.
So for me, that's what it means. So in those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two ways.
You're really across it.
Yep.
Across the P life.
Super P.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood having a hand difference?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's all you know, because I know when people, my niece who's 13 often says, you know, what's it like? Not, you know, can you do everything? Or and I'm like, I don't know. It's all I've known.
Of course.
Like I don't know how it would be. She's like, how do you do that one hand? I said, I just do. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess growing up, you kind of figure out a way of doing stuff.
Mm.
And so that's never really the issue. But it's more, I guess, the social stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the hard stuff. So, you know, I guess there were moments of being picked on or, you know, you just have things said that are
kids
not nice.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's obvious. They go for the obvious.
They do. Yep.
So, you know, people not wanting to hold your hand in class. Oh. Or I remember not going to ballet lessons because the kids refused to hold my hand.
Oh, Julie.
So I think, you know, there's, kind of, it's part of the journey. But
And what were the adults like the teachers and the, you know, were they?
Was the 80s?
Yeah.
It was the 80s.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think some very good
and
some not so good. I think most people intending to do well but not knowing how sometimes.
Yeah.
So I think Mum would often be that voice for me at that time and go in and kind of try to, you know, when I move schools.
Yeah.
Everyone would know.
Yep.
Yes.
Walked in and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's interesting, Julie, because that's what I do.
And then I know. Like, I'd kind of be like, oh.
Oh, okay.
But then the irony was, then I went to uni And people were like, oh, you're different. You've got that. And I'm like, do I? Because I wasn't really aware because I never had those conversations myself.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
Because it was always just made, that path was made by my mum for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
So then I didn't have the words.
Yes.
Or the how to explain it or how to have those conversations.
Yeah.
They weren't familiar.
Mm. And that's sort of tricky to do when you're starting uni because everything's different.
Yes.
You know.
And it's a hard age to be at. Is.
Yeah.
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 Wow. Tell us a little bit about high school. Was that hard?
Yeah. I think it was. I think particularly as boys have their own stuff too. I don't want to downplay that. But for girls, when it started to be like who's pretty, who's popular, who do the boys like, you were never you start to become quite different and seen in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think for myself that was kind of a hard age to feel good about myself and have a good body image and probably was the start of, and I probably did for a long time, like hid my hand.
Right.
So I was very expert at like every top that you could get or every kind of like even in like the heat of summer, that would like just be a bit of a decoy. So when you looked at me, it wasn't immediately obvious.
Yes.
So that probably got came in more as I became a teenager, I think.
Oh, and fair enough. It's the high school's, unless you are stunning, high school can be really brutal.
Well, I'm also very short.
Yeah.
So I also, that's what I say to parents often when I did work within the hand inference community. And it's true, I also got picked on for being short because that was also very obvious.
Yes.
So it's not like it was the only part of me. Like there was also other things that were obvious. So,
But I suppose other people in your class may have been short.
Yes. I was the shortest.
Okay.
When they line you up for school photos?
Yes. Or is in the middle at the front.
Trauma. Yeah. The very end. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could look.
It was always.
So mum wasn't going into the school saying, look, she's short.
No. I know.
So you did have to tackle that one.
Yeah. I know.
And did you make friends that just didn't care? In high school, like, do you have friends from that time still?
No. I don't have any friends from school.
That's
insane. That, not for that reason, just for other things.
Well, life changes.
I think I actually went to uni and for me, I actually met people that I really liked.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, I often say that to people, you don't always connect or find the people at school. Like, I know I love people tell me stories of, oh, I've got friends from school and all that sort of stuff, but I don't.
No.
Yeah.
And I've got some great friends that I met when I left school and I started to meet people that, and maybe it was doing courses like social work, but they were interested in the same stuff that I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't so strange or eccentric.
Yeah, but it's true. You're so great for that. Yeah. I say that to loads of kids. Yeah. Just wait. It's
I know.
The shit you have to push through.
Yeah.
And then you get to uni and.
I know.
And you're with everyone.
And I've got friends from uni.
Yes.
Do you hear that, uni friends? You're amazing. I know.
Yeah, they are. So,
So, how did you choose social work? How did you know you wanted to do that?
I think I always knew. Like, even I remember when a grandparent died when I was about 12 and they were in palliative care and there was a social worker involved. And I remember being like, wow. Mm. And that was always my thing. I want to be a social worker.
Yeah. Wow.
So it just always, I don't know. And I think I say that to some of the kids that I've, or parents and the kids that got hand differences that I meet, often it's not always the way, but I think because you know what it's like to be a bit different.
Mm. Yeah.
Or have people be a bit
definitely, an
asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or say stuff that's not quite right. Or just have to deal with that all the time.
Yeah.
Like out shopping or people that kind of stare at you and you're like, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
yes.
That you kind of understand what that's like. And I think a lot of the kids tend to be a bit more insightful or caring about others. Like they kind of see the kid that's struggling a bit. And parents often say that to me, yeah, my kid's quite thoughtful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And kind of on it. And I think that was always the way I was wired too. Was to kind of be thinking about other people and how they were feeling. Yeah. Exclusion. I've got a big thing.
Yeah.
Because I know what that was like.
Yes.
To be excluded from events and I mean, it probably wasn't for other reasons, but I've got this thing where everyone has to be.
Oh, yes. We have it too. Yes. I really
that
do.
That feeling still brings being back left trauma. Out.
Oh, yes. It is trauma. It is.
So yep. I think, yeah, I always wanted to be a social worker. Mm. So it was just something that.
What was your first job?
That's a good question. Well, at school I actually worked in a deli.
Okay.
That was pre.
How did that go?
Actually really well. I know at the time everyone was getting a job. It was like year nine. Everyone was getting a job. Yep. And I was like, okay.
Oh, I just that's what I have to do.
Yeah. Wasn't a second thought. And then my sister at the time was working opposite this deli and they were looking for someone. And she said, you know, my sister's looking for a job. They're like, great, bring her in. And then she went back to him a while later and said, by the way, she's got one hand. And he was like, that's fine. Like, so there are people.
Yeah, there are.
And he's like, bring her in, give her a go.
That was probably the 90s. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So he wasn't like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, okay, we'll get her to come in, give her a trial.
Yeah.
So that was actually my first job.
Yeah.
I can still rap Glad
Dry. I was going to say.
Pretty damn well.
That's pretty. It would have been challenging, though, using the meat cutters and all that sort of stuff, was it?
I think because I wanted to just do everything like everyone else. Yeah. But I actually did pretty well, I've got to say, all in all. And I actually was good at that show.
Yeah. I worked in the deli and I was a vegetarian because we were brought up strict vegetarians and I didn't know what any of that. I was like, okay, yeah, you can. Can you show me, point it to me and then I'd have to. I didn't know.
Champagne ham.
I don't know what they're called.
Of course,
I had no idea. So anyway, I loved working in the deli though. It's like a little corner of the supermarket. You can sometimes chat to people in there and people are there for a while while you're wrapping them up. I quite liked it.
Yeah, I think I was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people would often, like, we get new people start and they'd be like, how do you rap like that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, I just do it.
It's like pretty fine art.
I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Do you put the sticker on your shoulder?
Still a skill.
You know, they print it out, put it on their shoulder.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
I know.
I always watch them like, wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What about your first job as a social worker?
Yeah, true.
Or did you do like placements and how did you get a feel for what you wanted to do?
I don't think I really knew.
Because it's broad.
It is. Yeah. And often it was the way, and it still could be now, is that you just needed any opportunity to get into the field.
Yeah. Exactly.
And often that was child protection.
Yes.
And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So
very hard job, isn't it?
Yep.
Do they have, I know, well, I'm just going to
be Auntie Lisa knows this well. She's going to be listening.
But like if you do go do a really tricky job that's really hard on your heart, do you get support at the end of the day?
I think it's varied job to job
right.
and what the work culture is. And sometimes it's that hard and just suck it up.
Right, yeah.
That we don't do that here.
Yeah.
We're all professionals for some, you know, and for some reason that means you don't feel or need to. And in other places it was very much a, you know, you have that opportunity and that safety net. To express that.
Because I just...
It's a lot of human suffering.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so you knew that wasn't for you.
Yeah, I knew that and I didn't want to do that, but if I had to,
you
would like that because they were taking on new grads. But I actually ended up doing 6 months in an aged care team at a council.
Okay. Right.
They were taking on 2 new graduates and I'd done a placement.
Yes.
In that, in a different council. So I did that.
Yeah.
And that gave me the opportunity. And once I'd done that, you could then bounce on to... And I've done...
Lots of things. Yeah, I want to hear them all.
Yeah.
You want to hear them
all? I do. Yeah. Well, when
I've done
met
lots
you,
of things.
You're a Big Brothers Big Sisters.
I did that was my second job.
Yeah.
So I did that. So that's like a mentoring program. And then I studied art therapy while I was still there. Did my Masters of Art Therapy.
Yes.
Which I really loved because I love the talking and supporting people, but also the art and the creativity. Mm. So that kind of balance. And it was good. Personally for me to do because it pushed me out of my comfort zone.
Yep.
But even though this is a bit of a sidetrack, when I went to do my interview, you had to have an undergraduate degree, which I had in social work, but had to have an art portfolio or an art interest. And I had a few things that I'd done. And I went to the interview and the lady actually said to me at the end, and it was hard for me at that time I was in my 20s, bring up my hand in front.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite in that, you know.
Yep.
A comfortable zone.
Yeah.
And she kind of said to me, basically, you're going to scare or make people feel uncomfortable. It's too confronting when you go on placement.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. And I remember going to my car, Julie, and just crying.
Oh, yes.
But she also gave me a bit of paper that had, you had to write your feedback on how you felt the interview went.
Did you tell her?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I was what did you say?
I remember saying, basically it was like a screw you without saying that, because I was so, even though I was so upset, I was angry.
Very angry.
So I basically said to her, because she went into this whole thing about someone with multiple sclerosis that had been in a wheelchair, that had been on placement, and that had been confronting for people, and, like, you know, tried to go on this, I don't know, down this thing that didn't make sense to me. So I wrote and said, I think I'd be amazing at this, and if you don't take me on, it's your lost opportunity.
Wow.
And I just thought, screw you.
Do you think that was the first time you really advocated for yourself?
I think it probably was in hindsight. I don't think I was used to doing that or really confronting that in that way. And it was a shock. I'd never had that happen before. So
that in the world of therapy, we don't want people with lived experience. I can't even fathom how that could ever have any time been.
How did you, after you wrote that, how did you bounce back after that?
I remember actually going back because I was working at Big Brothers Big Sisters and just crying and people supporting me, which was nice.
Yeah.
So, and I think I was almost like, I'm not going to get in, but screw you. I don't want to be in a place like that.
Yeah,
and then when I did get in, I had to kind of think, like, do I want to be in a place where there's assholes like that?
Yeah.
Because she was the head of the course. So I had to really think
about.
I had to really think about. Because I was like,
hopefully she's like some receptionist or something.
Well, what we kind of then found out in time, she wasn't always great with words, but that's no excuse
it's
for
not.
An art therapist.
Oh, no. No.
You should have just drawn a big middle finger.
That's kind of how I felt at the time.
Really great 3D drawing, some shading.
I did. But that's a bit of a.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so from Big Brothers Big Sisters, I went and I worked in mental health in a community health service, which I really liked because I'd done a mental health placement doing art therapy.
Yeah.
I thought, hang on, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I've got to even think. I've worked with families and I worked in family, like, kind of support service for a short amount of time. And then I worked at the Department of Human Services in their disability adult team back in the day.
And was that, what was that like?
It was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
I think I'd kind of hit this point in my life where I was like, I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I went to this locum service and ended up there. And I was like, oh, hell no.
Yep.
It was the most demoralizing place I've ever worked.
Oh.
I think it was a real place. I don't know. People often, I think, make that judgment about people in government, but it happened to be sadly true on this thing. You know, people had been there a long time.
Yes.
Often.
Yes.
They were very stale in the way they did stuff. And I was kind of like, why is it done that way? Why do I have to ask for that again? Or, and they were just like, just do it that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, not the end.
Yeah.
And it was a very just average is okay. There was no. Yeah. And I was like, no. So then I went to work at Mind Australia doing training, mental health stuff, because I'd done a placement and I'd met a supervisor and she was like, come. And I'm like, yeah.
I will.
I'm coming. And I love that. But probably then the next move is like a long, I've done many things. It was doing Metro Access, which was a disability advocacy or inclusion program the government had. And I worked at Port Phillip Council, and that was the first job that putting on my application that I had. It's the first time I'd said that I had a disability,
right?
Because they were looking for, you know.
And
it was
how
like,
old were you when you wrote that down?
I would have been like 32,
right?
And I'd never ticked a box, you know, when you go places and it's like, have you got a disability when you're studying? I'd always gone, oh no, I don't have a disability.
Yeah.
I'd always run away from the connotations of that and being part of any community. Didn't identify with and kind of almost pushed it away and was like, I'm not going to own disability and something, I'm not okay with that. And then I'd put it in this job and it was like for the first time, it was like a great thing. It was celebrated, wanted.
Yeah.
And when I worked in that space, I met so many amazing people that had disabilities of different kinds. Mm. They were proud of who they were. They were doing amazing work.
Yeah.
And I think for me that was the start of kind of feeling part of a community.
Yeah.
More myself.
Yeah.
Proud.
Yeah.
Even I'm proud of having a disability that that label. I know for some people that's and I get it. And working with kids and parents who have the kids have hand differences, that's an uncomfortable thing sometimes, and I understand that. But for me, I'm like, no, I'm proud of it, and I don't. Like, to me, it's a celebrated
moment. From the very outside, I saw a change in you at that time, Julie.
It was, I was really like, wow. And it was just this new world.
Yeah.
And everyone was different.
Do you think it was the time of Stella?
Yes, and I've still got, I've got my Stella tattoo.
Yeah. What is that tattoo?
I've got the one that Stella had, which she had up her arm. Yeah. So that's the title of the Laura Hershey poem, Who Was a Disability Advocate.
So
you get proud by practicing.
Yes.
That's such a beautiful tattoo. Yeah.
So I've got that.
Around your wrist.
Yeah. So I got that. So, yeah, it was like finding out that stuff and even meeting people with hand differences and even knowing that was a word.
You didn't have that word.
No, growing up it was very rare I met someone like me. It was in passing.
Yes.
And my family wasn't one. You didn't talk about it.
But that's just our generation.
Yes.
Isn't
everything
it?
Was kind of like you just didn't. It was almost a shameful. Yes. I felt, I think I internalized shame.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think to them it was like, just we're supporting her, get on with
of course.
And they that was their intention. But for me, it internalized shame.
Of course.
I had these feelings and this identity that it was like, no, no, you're just like everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's actually something a bit different about me.
And
that's
it's a
okay.
lot for you to handle.
Yeah. And they weren't. So when I actually, it wasn't like a deformity or a, you know, negative thing that I heard in medical appointments.
Yeah.
It was like, you've got a difference.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, that's a really nice way of reframing it.
It really is. And I think we've got so much internalized prejudice that we don't even know.
Yeah.
And as parents, we are probably the absolute worst because when you're pregnant and someone says to you, and you're like, well, I just want a healthy baby. I just want it. Like, from the minute we conceive, we're giving this child baggage that they do not need.
No.
And, I mean, I'm proud to say that I have moved on, but I know the whole world hasn't. Like that's – and so I suppose we – now I just think having children with a disability, I think they're awesome, awesome humans, and I'm so glad the world has them and that they're part of the community.
Yeah.
But I – and it just makes me sad that people view that as a negative word. But I don't, you know, it's going to take a long time for –
Yeah. I think it was Stella because I went to see one of her comedy shows just before she passed away and I actually spat water on the she said this really funny joke and I'd just taken this drink of water and I literally laughed and like spat water over
well,
people
surely
in the row in front of me.
That's the greatest as a comedian to go,
look what I've done. No, funny.
But she, I think it was her that said, you know, growing up special was meant to be shit. Like if anything was special, something special, it was like shit.
Yes. It's
so
true.
That was the thing about disability or, you know, that concept was it was shit.
Yeah.
Like stay away from it. It's not a proud, like, but yeah, meeting people that were really proud of that, that were doing, they were amazing people.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was the start of something a bit different.
Yeah. So now, I don't know if you know this or are aware of it, but like if you're born with a limb difference, is there support given to you and your family from other people with limb differences? You go, oh, look, we're all the same. Oh, not the same. But,
there's
you know.
There's more of that now. I think when I was born, mum, there were no scans 45 years ago. And so she wasn't aware till I was born.
Yeah.
Although even now, I think it's probably about 50-50 that still people don't find out. I don't know if it's better or not.
Who knows?
Because I think, as I've said to Mandy before, like there's abortions that are offered or there's a lot of confronting chat about the baby may have other defects as well as that. So it's a really hard thing. But I think there's more because there is like in Australia – there's a couple of places that probably particularly for hand difference. There's Aussie Hands, which I was involved with.
Yeah.
so they try to get the word out there a lot more.
Yep.
And it's more common that people are like, yep, someone gave me a brochure.
Yes.
Or told me about Aussie Hands or I went onto the Facebook group. But there's still a gap that people don't know about it.
Yeah.
And something that Aussie Hand started and continues now is or helped kind of push along was a hand difference registry that exists now. So that's held in Melbourne at I think the I always get the Murdoch Children Research Institute and the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
So it's like trying to map people or, you know, kids that come to health professionals or surgeons or anyone.
Yes.
And it's pretty much every major hospital around Australia now has ethics approval. So everyone goes into, you know, hopefully we're capturing more people.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think my hope for that is often we don't get funding because people are like, well, how many are there of you? And we're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So what are your needs? What stuff happens for you? We're like, we don't know. So when you go to apply for funding, they're like, well, you know. And for me, there has been ongoing like health, like, you know, physical impact. Yes. And there's often mental health stuff that can happen. So I think for me, the exciting part is not, it's just trying to map for people.
Yes.
What interventions help? What support helps? What are your needs long term? How can we support the community better? How can we get funding? That kind of thing. So
when I remember you invited me to speak at Aussie Hands.
Yes.
And that was the day that I drove down Bourke Street Mall.
Oh, amazing. If you're not from Melbourne, you're not allowed to do that.
Because it was
that's
like
brilliant.
8 o'clock in the morning.
I never knew that.
I know, because I was too scared to tell anyone, okay. But it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
but I remember going, oh, that's the Maya Windows. Then I was like, that's
oh,
the Maya Windows.
Or you went like, there's a trim.
Yeah. Well, because it was early in the morning, remember?
Wasn't it
at Docklands?
It was. That was the first thing. Kind of thing I'd kind of done when I was
there. Tell us about
there.
How you did that, because it was a great day. It was 2 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a series of days, but I think what you and I did, there was like a mentoring component and kind of because it was like trying to get young people to meet some older people because that had a hand inference too because that's something I missed out on.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you know anyone?
No. Or never really got to have big chats. Or you saw Olympians. There's my friend Shannon who lost her arm. In a car accident in her 30s, people would assume she'd become a Paralympian after that. And I was like, when I met her after that, I'm like, some of us are just really bloody average.
Yes.
Like, I'm not doing anything brilliant like that. So you'd sort of see Paralympians and, and that kind of people, but you wouldn't see just your average.
Yeah.
Joe Blow.
Yeah.
So part of that program was trying to connect people, like, you know, like the younger ones to some of us oldies. And also, for the first time, because a lot of people that come to Aussie Hands are new parents. And that's obviously a scary time. They've probably never met anyone with a limb difference. It's not what they expected. So they're like, oh, my God, am I equipped to deal with this? And every question is in their head. Are they going to get bullied? What aids do I need to get them?
Are they going to crawl surgeries, properly? You know?
So everything is popping into their head.
Because we go way too far as parents. We don't just go, look at my beautiful baby. Love them.
Yeah.
You know, we go like, well, what's it going to be like?
Will they be able to drive?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
It's crazy.
I got asked that yesterday. I'm like, yes, I drive. So it's like, so that was like the first opportunity to kind of, we got a group of parents together and really kind of saying, but also like, what is the hard stuff? What are your worries?
Yeah,
it is scary.
You enabled them to have that space.
And a lot of the mums would blame themselves, I think, in that thing of what did I do to make this happen? Why did this happen? And also just talking about, you know, what school's going to be like. Just sharing some of that stuff together. So that was the first time, which was really lovely.
And you had the art, you had all the art stuff and you had your friends who were the play therapists.
Yes.
And they were awesome.
They did. So they did some play therapy with the matches, so the young people and the older people that had a hand inference as well. So that was really good. And then we did that in a few states in Australia.
Yeah, incredible.
Like took that around with the parents' workshop. And what's really lovely is seeing like new parents that, would kind of come and go, oh, I'm really scared or even not knowing how to act. You know, you see them come to events and they'd kind of just trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you don't really know how to
be. And then
they
see a 9-year-old just do a cartwheel.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know. I know. But sort of seeing them being nervous or uncertain or lots of questions and then over the years – like seeing them then mentor the next parent.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it was nice to see them. And there was still stuff that happens, you know, when you're a teenager or there's certain stuff.
Of course.
But it was really nice to see that journey.
Yeah.
Mm. So that was a really beautiful thing.
You did a great job at that time.
Mm. Yeah, enjoyed doing that. Yeah, and you really, doing the workshops. Did. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do they still do it?
I think at the moment, because I'm not involved so much now, but there still is Aussie Hands. And that's something, there's a really great online group.
Yeah.
That's closed, that's really supportive. But also they've got a mentoring program at the moment where you can connect.
Yeah.
Awesome.
With an adult. So, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What about pre-pandemic? What things did you do to look after yourself, like travel or, you know, one of the things, or art, making
passions.
Cakes?
Yeah.
This during the pandemic,
Or even before it. What were you doing before? I mean, we can't remember BC.
I know. I'm like, it's a blur.
We're different people.
Yeah.
Probably like swimming.
Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't been doing so much of that.
Did that
lately.
Help with your, you know, back pain? And
because I get a lot of, because I use the right side dominated, and something that can happen for us as we get older is like wear and tear, like the wrist arms and shoulder. For me, I get a lot of neck pain, so I do get a procedure done each year to help with the pain, and that allows me to swim and do more stuff.
So
swimming, definitely. I try to do creative stuff, although sometimes that's the first thing to go.
It is. Everyone's the same.
But I still really enjoy that outlet, and definitely my gardening.
Yeah,
I like doing my gardening and making my terrariums, and that's kind of another kind of therapy. So,
and how did you manage the pandemic? Where were you working at the time? And
working from home, and I actually started a new job. Well, two new jobs in the middle of the
right
pandemic.
Right at the time,
That was interesting. So I do at the moment support people to be part of the Royal Disability Royal Commission.
Right.
Which is happening in Australia. So
massive, Julie.
That is massive.
So I started doing that. And then I also work in a program called Voice at the Table, which involves people with cognitive disability, so acquired brain injury and intellectual disability. And we employ people with cognitive disability, a part of our team, and we do training for people around finding their voice, self-advocacy, just learning about disability, like speaking up, being part of that stuff, being paid. You're an expert. Like doing all that. And also training organisations of how to make them more inclusive of people with cognitive disabilities, like how to make, like a lot of, and we try to encourage people onto boards and committees with lived experience, but in that, making organisations aware, this is what you need to do to mean that they can be part of
that. Yes,
So, kind of educating organisations as well. So starting in the pandemic was interesting.
You're just meeting everyone over Zoom. And
And just getting the vibe of how things worked, and that was really tricky. I think being a bit more experienced, you kind of could sit with it and the uncertainty. And it took longer to get to know what I was doing.
Of course.
And cut yourself some slack when you couldn't remember systems or how to do things.
You could just go pandemic.
Odd. I've still never been into the office, like a year later.
Really?
Fascinating.
So, and not met the majority of my colleagues in person.
So they're all still working from home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, how our lives changed.
I know.
It's what just do you was that a negative or positive for you working from home?
I actually kind of like it.
Yeah,
I gotta say. I think you can, you know, as long as you kind of work in ways that you are supported because you do hear hard stuff. It does bring stuff up. I think as long as you still have ways to get supported and debrief and look after yourself.
Yeah.
I still, and I feel very connected to the people I work with and, you know, can get help when I need it or support.
Yeah.
So I think being able to not commute, you know, on the train into the office.
Yeah.
Cut back. I actually enjoyed being at home, to be honest.
Yes.
I know some people struggle, but I actually quite enjoy it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I would struggle.
I've always worked at home since, but I still count seeing my families on Zoom. That still builds me up.
And I'm that's
rushing.
What I do.
There's no travel.
So. Yeah, well, travel's
tiring.
Yeah.
Well, it just takes so much of your time. You don't get paid for it.
That's right.
I know. So, quite enjoyed it.
Tell us about the Royal Commission. My goodness.
Yeah.
That is massive.
Amazing work. Challenging. Everyone's got till the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right. Yep, yep, yep.
That's when the cutoff is to put in a submission.
Yep.
It's been good, but also because you know that what you're asking of people, and it's like cold calling almost. Like you're ringing up someone saying, you don't know me. I'm working remotely. Tell me about your trauma that is going into this thing that may or may not do something.
Yes, we can't guarantee you there's going to be a good outcome from this.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you won't personally get an outcome.
Yes.
So you're kind of telling them, trust me.
Yes.
Tell me this great story and you can be part of, like, it's essentially.
Hopefully it will change.
Exactly.
The
I believe in it, but I know for some people it's like they want that outcome. It's too remote.
Yes,
well, they want to know sharing their trauma is going to mean something.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've kind of got to say to them, and I'm really honest, like, we're, you know, at the end. It's important that we've got disability advocates fought for a long time for the Royal Commission. So it's, I really believe in it, but at the same time I know that it's asking a lot of people.
Yep.
But I think it can make a difference. And it'll mean that when a report comes out with recommendations, it will mean more advocacy and saying to the government, get off your ass.
Yes.
These are the recommendations.
Yep.
Do it.
Yeah. And if you're not going to do it, we are going to ask you and ask you and ask you again why you're not, and we are never going to stop this. Yeah.
And some of the things that have come out have been horrific, but important, and that's why we kind of knew all this stuff was happening.
Yes.
But we needed people to have a voice and an opportunity. Yep.
And people don't know it's happening.
Like, no, they don't know.
I know.
But
lots of people are oblivious.
I know. So for them, it's been really good for them to be shocked and go, oh, shit, I'm just cruising around not actually aware of what's going on around me. So I think it's just so
important. And they might have skills to be able to aid and assist the fight as well.
Yeah, you know? Know about it.
Yeah, and be an ally.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not putting up for that either.
Yeah. That's true.
So, that's big. So you work at that till the end of the year or do you continue?
They've given us funding because even around Australia, if you go online, there's advocacy organisations everywhere that if you want support.
Yeah,
right.
Because you can do it, like, you can film yourself.
Yeah.
You can ring them up. They've made it very, like, flexible. You can do artwork, but there's also people that can support you to share that. And there's free counselling, there's legal support. So there's a lot of things.
I didn't know all that. So this
there
is.
There's
the
a lot. The counselling's kind of free. Like you don't have to fit into any criteria.
Because often there's
limitations it's time limited.
Yes, you've got three opportunities for 25 minutes.
And then you're out. So,
and your trauma must be X bad for you to be able to do it.
Exactly, but it's not. So I think we're all funded up till mid next year because I think they kind of understand that there's going to be a flow on or people still need
definitely
some support and there's advocacy that comes out of hearing their stories that people like me are able to support.
That's really good to know.
So, and there's private hearings that you can apply for, which is one-on-one with one of the commissioners, which are like the judges, important people.
Wow.
And that's been amazing. You have to ask. That's why it's up until I think you've got to request one by June.
Yeah.
Right.
But they were in person, but obviously not anymore with COVID. Yeah. And when I've been involved with them, they're really validating for a lot of people because you get to really tell your story to that person.
And
that
you can look at the person who's hearing it.
And for a lot of people, they're like, I know I went to one recently with an amazing woman who lives in a terrible group home.
Mm.
And I said to her, this is the first time that she's really had, you know, anyone listen or the opportunity to say it out loud. And trying to make it a validating, even though it was upsetting, but also making it empowering.
So powerful.
And she wants to, you know, make a difference. So they're really amazing, actually, to do them in
what
that way.
What a job.
So,
yeah. What an awesome job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'd be a fantastic person for it.
Yeah, it's been a good, challenging but good.
Yeah.
Yeah, challenging isn't always bad.
No.
No, that's right.
Tiring, I'm sure exhausting. Yeah. I think sometimes after I've had a really full-on day and chatted to a friend that I love that's going through something, I'm actually physically tired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can imagine how tiring it must be.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. Wow. And so what does your – like if you were going to talk to parents like us who can be absolutely
– rectums.
Ridiculous in things that we say and think. And we acknowledge
Julie's
that.
Julie's listened to me for a long time. Yeah. So.
Oh, it's okay.
What would you tell us?
That's a good question.
You can tell the truth that we can all handle it.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. I was just thinking because I kind of reflect more on the hand inference thing, but I think there's still bits that can be taken away from that. I know for a lot of parents, when their kids come home and something crappy's happened or someone said something or there's that kind of thing where it's hard to be a parent and see your kid experiencing that and you just want it to go away.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think I know what I probably experienced was a bit like, well, there's worse people off than you or she'll be right. No, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's tough. But I know a lot of parents will say, oh, my God, you know, this happened, you know, what do I do? And I kind of like try and I know it's a tough ask, but sit with that.
Yes.
Like let them say it. And know that they can tell you and that you're a safe place to do that. And don't rush into too quickly because you're uncomfortable, but you'll be all right tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like let them sit with that. And even though I know that's a really tough, I think.
But it's really a valuable lesson.
Yeah.
Because I think.
I've got better at it.
I think I would have valued from that. And, you know, when you want other, you know, I often say that to parents, please try and do that. Don't try and just sort of. And I think. As much as possible. I think it's like, you know, it's already the stuff that parents are doing, like being supportive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with resilience is something I probably did later in life, but as much as possible, the stuff they enjoy, celebrate it, support them.
Yeah.
Like it's stuff that parents do without realizing it. And when you talk to them, they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because, yeah.
I think everything
we're trying
just
to
gets
find
messed
those
up
milestones
in
too.
Your head and you're like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this right.
I know.
I'm, 10 times more than with regular parenting. So,
And I think my mum still, you know, has a lot of, you know, thinks she probably didn't, and it makes me sad, like didn't do a good enough job.
Mm.
And when I was born, she tells a story that, you know, the nurse said, Julie's going to need an extra special mother.
Mm.
And she still carries that with her.
Yeah.
And I think in this way that it was almost unobtainable
to
do this special job.
Yes. It's a terrible thing.
And you don't, no one's amazing all the time. Like you do, and she did the best job and she did, you know, I'm doing all right. And she did, like she made the best choices and did all that
and
stuff.
What she knew.
Like I was in I've done every sport.
Yeah.
Every, you know, class known to humans I've given a go. So she's, you know, been supportive. So
And as a lot of us in our 40s start to realise that our parents went through stuff too. But you don't realise that till
you
get older.
She found it hard and even now, like I think that I had to, like a lot of parents would be like, I would swap. I don't want to see them.
Yeah.
I want the hand difference or the limb difference.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
That thought. And I think mum probably or she blamed herself.
Yeah.
I think. So you kind of and I think as an adult I realise that.
I know.
And I look at her experiences and it wasn't easy. So that's why Aussie Hands and something like that is so important because you can share those stories and she didn't have stuff like that.
And
so I think that's really important. Whether you're online, you don't have to come to events. Yes. Not everyone's up for that. She probably didn't want that.
No.
But join online. Be
part of it. You don't have to be the most active member. You just have to know what's
it's
going
there.
I know. And that's what I think, you know. Not everyone wants it. Because people will be like, oh, they don't come to events. So they don't have to.
No, they don't have to.
I don't care.
They know it's there.
You're just part of the community in the way that you feel
works for you,
for you right now.
Not everyone's a massive poster like me and joining every single group.
No. And the other thing is – That would be great if we could. And Mandy and I have got a couple of ideas, but, you know, we're only two women. But that the narrative that you're given when you're pregnant needs to change. So there needs to be incidental mentions in pregnancy literature about, you know, limb differences, disabilities, yeah. autism, just as a, you know, this
the everyday discussion.
Yes, it's not something yeah. that's pointed out. It's just what happens when you're pregnant. It's just what yeah. happens when you look around.
Since
you,
the beginning of time.
We're all different, every yeah. single human. So yeah. that needs to be really written about more and be a part of the narrative, because then it takes away the, oh, well, this is only happening to me. No, it's not. It was in all the literature. It's obviously yeah. not just happening to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It needs to be really changed.
Definitely. But, yeah. And a lot of that to me is like having people with disabilities in, like, on telly, yeah, media,
100%.
And they're just there.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
It's not because of.
No.
Yes.
They're just there, which is why I really wanted to go on making it. And
oh,
it.
Yes, Julie. But also, talk about your cakes.
I know. But also.
Did you apply?
I did. And I.
Shame on them for not having you.
I love that show. But, you know that there's more. And there are more people yes. that are out there. But to make it even more so. Yeah. And even people say with all different disabilities, there's characters on TV shows and they just happen to have a disability.
Yes, yes, that's.
It's not their main
no.
identity.
No.
Like, so I think the more that happens and
yes.
there's reporters and just. I yeah. want to see more, because there are, I mean, what happened, there's a big percentage of the population.
Well, one in 20.
But we don't see yeah, each other. Yeah, no. Like, I didn't see myself, and a lot of people, disability no. advocates, say that you don't see.
No, you don't.
And
no.
so then a new mum or a new dad might kind of go, oh, actually, yeah. I've seen someone on the telly,
yes,
or I've seen
yes.
someone, and there's some vague.
Yeah, it's just.
It wasn't until I, you know, watched the Paralympics that I saw all these people with hemiplegias.
Yes.
And that was the first time I'd seen adults.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow!
I know.
And it wasn't that that's what I was aspiring to. It was just no. I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Well, even my first Aussie Hands event, which probably would have been in my 20s, and just going into a room of people like you
yes.
was weird, like good weird.
Yeah. yeah.
But
yeah.
a totally new experience.
Yeah.
And that you're not the odd one out. And yeah. seeing babies like you and older
yes.
people. And just it was like, I've never been
no.
in
yes.
a place. I'm like in heaven.
Yes.
Like, where is this
place? I am the shit.
Yes.
Exactly.
This is my gang.
This is like
yes.
my community.
Yes.
Oh, I see me.
Yes.
And it was so cool.
So powerful.
And I've even like adults that have come and they've cried the
yeah,
first time.
Of course.
Because it just, it's like, wow. Oh. Like, where has this place?
Yes.
And knowing that it exists, even if you yes. don't want to be part of it. Knowing that you're part of a greater thing that's there when you need it.
Julie so. Makes the most incredible cakes. That
I'm
I've
making
seen.
One at the moment.
Yes.
Oh, so, I was going to come with blue hands.
Yes.
Is it a Smurf cake?
It's a Lego cake.
Oh.
Blue fondant
oh.
did damage.
Oh.
Luckily, I washed my hair in the shampoo.
Is oh. your Instagram page public?
I believe it is. I've
yeah.
put all my cakes up.
Yes.
That was
oh,
part
we'll
of my pitch for
page.
Making it.
We'll put it in the
show. I'm going to yeah. put it all on Instagram.
Yes.
You don't know who listens to this. If someone knows the people I'm making it,
yes.
Julie needs to be on the next series.
Because I would love it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're the winner in my eyes.
Yeah.
But I, yeah.
I can't wait to see these cakes.
I always, there's times where Molly's been there where your cakes have been and I've always just quietly taken her up and said, and look
yeah.
at this cake that Julie's made.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and... Yeah, I just want to thank you for being a great person in my life.
Oh,
you've been really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking yeah. actually driving here today, like the memories over the years,
yeah.
like maybe only seeing you once in a while.
Yeah.
yeah.
But even when I know there was the decision to change schools
yeah.
and
was
that
huge.
Was tough and I'm like, they're going to be okay.
I know.
Like,
I just needed to
whatever
hear
whatever choice. But I know that's
yeah.
flippant almost for me to
no,
say.
But I needed
but,
to hear it.
Yeah. I remember I was thinking that
yeah.
was at the baby shower, Rebecca's. I
yeah.
remember having
yeah.
those chats with
yes.
you. And,
yeah, because I was just like yearning to hear from you.
It's hard.
What
yeah,
can I
yeah.
do better? How can I,
know.
Do a better job?
Mums are yeah. tough on themselves.
Yeah.
I think I have more of awareness of that now
yeah.
I'm older.
They
so,
are.
They are. I
yeah.
don't know how to change that.
Yeah.
But thank you, Julie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world?
I don't think so. I feel like I've talked a lot.
Yeah, we love it.
That's the job.
I'm a fast talker and a long talker.
Yeah,
good. We
love
it. Perfect. You're in perfect
no,
company.
I really enjoy coming on. I think because, yeah, doing disability advocacy and being amongst, you know, people of all different sorts of disabilities now and even yesterday, like being with people that, you know, with vision impairment or physical disability
yeah.
or like, you know, I think it's just an amazing group to be in. I think to share that.
So amazing.
And that we all have something in common.
Yeah.
Yes.
Different, like same thing, different.
Yes.
And I enjoy meeting. Even yesterday I met a guy online and was supporting him to do some training, and he's vision impaired. And we were doing this thing where people can kind of get to know you. It's like we call it a one-page profile. So what's important to you in life? What are your access needs? Yep. What are your pet hates? You know, that kind of stuff. Yep. So you can give it to your support worker or, someone in your life or in a work event, like a workplace.
Yep.
And I kind of had this chat with him and I said, so what about if people offer to help you? Yeah. Like, does that really give you the shits? Or is that, do you prefer to ask for help? Because he's an older guy. Do you prefer to ask for help or do you like it to be offered or do you mind? And he goes, no, I don't mind. I said, because for me, like, and I said, because this is my experience but different. So then we had this great chat.
Yeah.
Which was about him. I didn't make it about me. But you know, he was like, oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, so what was that like growing up? And he was vision impaired from a kid. So we had this great chat.
Yes.
And even though we acknowledge it's different, there's a lot of people almost go, oh, yeah, and then have this great chat.
Yes.
So I love having, and that was a great, I love having those conversations. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I like being part of that community. So
great.
Lucky to have you.
We really are. Yeah. Thank you for driving here.
Yes,
coming down to the Pod Bar and freezing cold Melbourne day.
The peas are going to love this episode. I want everyone to go and follow Julie's cakes. So. We're going to get her on Made It. And
yes.
I'm coming to the taping if you win, okay?
Yeah. Oh, only if you win. I'm not just coming to the regular ones.
I was very confident when I left my last job. I was like, they were like, what are you going to do? And I just applied. I'm going to be on Making It.
Yes.
I love it.
I'm going to be on telly.
Yes.
And if you had have asked like the 25-year-old me, I would have said, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen. I'm not going anywhere where anyone looks at me.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, there's
it's
a
the 40s,
I'm like,
Julie.
Let me at it.
Yes. Oh, my family would be sitting down glued.
Mm.
So,
I'd be loving it.
Oh.
We will tag your Insta, share some of your
Maybe
photos.
Maybe we'll tag Making It.
And we'll you should put have you this person in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there's another the one.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Is there going to be another one? Surely.
Well, they, I don't know. I don't know.
How well it went. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the uptake was in Australia because I watched the US version.
Yes. Same.
And loved it. So when I saw that it was a potential, I was like, yay.
Yeah.
Season 2 is always better.
But I was so like, I could so do that.
Oh,
I was like one of those, you know, critiques that I could totally
with your
smash
eyes closed.
That. I'd be doing better than that.
Oh, yeah. Incredible cakes.
I can't wait to see them.
Yes.
They're stalk you straight away.
Well, thank you, Julie.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Kate, wasn't Julie fantastic?
Oh, so fantastic. Just enthusiasm and energy. And
yes.
Just, it was so nice, actually.
She's an awesome person.
Yeah, so nice. So thank you for giving us your time, Julie.
Yes, thank you, Julie. And everyone we're going to get her on a TV
show.
We're
going to follow that Instagram. It will be in the show notes. Auntie Lisa will put it in there and then I will tag it on our Insta.
She will. And it's, she's been a great person in my life and I'm really thankful for her.
Yeah,
just to be able to, even thinking about Molly's hand that she can't really use, but she has it.
Yes.
It's sort of complex and it's different to a hand difference. And
yes.
Yeah, but it was really great to spend some time with Aussie hands. So,
lovely.
Right,
lovely.
What made you cry this week?
Okay, so I've had a couple of warehouse sales because I'm getting rid of my business, which is extremely emotional. I'm just having a year of monumental change.
You really, really are.
It's really... it's
really
tricky.
Are.
But so many beautiful peas have come to my sales and they just, you know what? This is why peas are the best. They don't expect a conversation.
No.
They just go, I just wanted to support you, so I came. And I see you all.
Yeah.
Beautiful Marge who sent us speak pipes. Oh. All of you. I can't even remember all your names. Thank you for coming and buying cushions because we've got thousands. So
beautiful cushions.
Beautiful cushions. But yeah. So thank you for coming along and supporting me. Mandy and Molly came.
We did.
She went home with a cushion.
Yes.
You know, everyone has a cushion. You get a cushion. You get a cushion. You get a cushion. It's like Oprah.
But I was sad for you.
Yeah, it's a full-on day, and then yeah. everyone's like, how much is this? And you're really harassed, yes. and you're like, oh, this is just so much.
Yes. But
anyway, yeah, so that did make me cry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
What about you?
Well, I've been to 2 funerals
Mandy.
Within a week.
Yeah,
so,
that's...
And 2 very different funerals. So, yeah, so it was lots of dripping tears at both for very different reasons.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that we could go to funerals again.
Yeah, very grateful.
Yeah.
It's been... Yeah, too long without being able to go.
Yeah, so there was lots of crying. And joy, because that's what funerals
are
about
too.
Yes,
they are. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's the circle of life. It's everything. And you always find out something like, what? They modelled in their, you know, whatever. I didn't know that about them. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Mm. And just finding some joy in communicating with my friends who are in the loss.
Yes.
Yes. How I can too, and then how to be helpful but not intrusive. Mm. It really comes to light in a death time.
It does, and you remember all the other people that you've loved and lost.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a full on time. Yeah.
What about make a difference?
Okay, so my make a difference is that scholarship turned 21.
Yes.
And we had an afternoon tea here. She had a weekend away with her friends, so that was lovely. And she. I don't know, it was just lovely that we had people in the house.
Yes.
Michelle's sweet treats made beautiful, beautiful cupcakes.
Beautiful.
She's a pea, that's why we shout out her business.
Yep.
I don't know, it was just lovely to have family and friends around, and, you know, I think all of her birthdays have been
In lockdown.
I know 19 was full lockdown.
Yeah.
Maybe last year was a couple of friends. I can't remember. But she hasn't been able to have, you know, since she's finished school, a proper gathering of people.
Really big
deal. So it was really, really, really nice. And, just friends, you know, I'll bring scones and I'm like, oh, that's right, we used
people
to do this.
People help each
other. It's been a long time.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, it was really, really nice. What about you?
Well, just a week or so ago when all the peas, we made our video. Remember, in response to ScoMo.
Sorry.
Our blessed
video.
Yes. And so just putting that all together, that made a huge difference to me.
It's so beautiful, that video.
It was a response of love. And Molly made the first one.
Yeah.
And chose the song, This Is Me.
Yeah.
And then we made quite a few more. And so it was going back into the hangout, getting everyone's permission for the photos.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yes.
And I thought, this is going to be magic.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Yeah, I bought an app to make it better.
Because
it was Molly made it, but then it was, and then I had to add photos. And anyway, so I just got an app and it was quite easy in the end.
Yes.
But thank you to everybody who contributed to that.
Yeah, all of our beautiful kids.
Yeah, and it's been shared lots of times.
It has.
And it's really, if you know, you know. It was an amazing video.
And also,
thanks for generously sharing your kids.
Freddie's mum.
Yes,
gave us the beautiful whim, put it on our Insta as a reel. If you haven't seen it and you don't have Instagram, borrow someone else's.
Oh, I couldn't stop watching him.
51,000 views, which is a lot for our sort of. He was just in the car and heard ScoMo say blessed, and he just absolutely let ScoMo have it.
He did.
It's not on, man.
It's not on.
And it's beautiful, and it was. And also, someone sent Mandy and I t-shirts that said hashtag blessed.
Yes.
I love you, and if you think I'm pretty out there, but you think I'm going to wear a t-shirt that says blessed across my boobs? I might not.
I'm going to put it on and we'll have a photo. But, thank you for
thank
that
you,
person
thank
who
you,
did
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, because that was a beautiful gift. Thank
because
you.
Because we are blessed.
We are.
Right?
That's right.
So
and we changed that narrative
we
that
did.
Day.
We
and
really,
it was a hurting.
Really, really
it was
did.
A hard week, actually.
Yes. And welcome to the new followers who found us because of that.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
And I think what was hard about it was because we also had people going, he didn't mean it.
He didn't mean it.
So many people said that.
Yeah.
I read so many people saying that.
Oh, yeah,
I said, well.
I actually unfriended 2 people.
Yeah, did you?
And one of them has a child with a disability, but she just went on a massive rant and I thought, I don't have to see this, actually.
No, you don't. No, I love an unfollow.
Yeah, I was like, this is quite powerful. And I know we've already talked about this in previous weeks, but.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, it did make a difference. All right.
So, what about your laugh?
Okay, so what made me laugh was that I have been having to go into the warehouse at odd times to get things ready. And so I took Buzz and Woody with me and they piled probably 400 cushions or something into a massive pile, and then they were jumping off the pallet racking next door, just pin dropping into these cushions. It's a concrete floor, but thankfully there was a lot of cushions, but they just look so funny because they disappeared. And I laughed a lot.
What joy.
I recorded the video, which I probably can't share because it's got their faces, but it was we were just all laughing. Yeah. The work boys were laughing and I was like, this is what life
is. Nice to bring back some joy just, in that work environment when it's about sadness and loss right now.
Yeah, so it was really, really
lovely. Because it's been
lovely.
A place of joy.
It has. It has just been the most. And one of my work boys, Ben, just put his arm around me and said, I'm sad. And like, me too. Because we've had the
helping.
Best times there.
Yeah.
Best times.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I said to, I think it was Ben, I said, "This is you're never going to forget this job.
Oh,
and
no.
It's a really big deal.
Yeah, it is.
And I was sorry for them too to lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's jetting off overseas.
Oh, so he'll be all right.
He'll be fine.
In 5 minutes. Yeah. What made me laugh?
Yeah.
We did an open night for Miss Eleven's high school, which just crept up on me in 2 years.
What do you mean you're going to?
I know.
I know how old she is, but I still couldn't quite.
She's a young grade 6-2 though, because she's November. But but also I was the mum on the group chat where everyone was like, "You going to the open night?" I was like, "What?" Didn't even know it was on. So felt terrible. So then have to overcompensate. Yeah, sure. I booked in. It was funny. So I sent Kate a Snapchat. We were in
Snapchat.
One of the health rooms. And it just had like a, reproductive table. Of course, all the grade sixes are like, woo! And there was a little poster that said, "How did Lizzie get Prego?"
Prego!
Prego!
And there was all these little boys, not little boys, all these pictures of men around this. I was like, well, has she slept with all of them?
What is this?
Is it something? Obviously, it's about unprotected sex. But anyway, made me laugh a lot. Prego. I haven't heard that phrase for years.
And I wasn't expecting to see it in a school. But anyway, it was sort of fun.
Too.
But there was also little triggers everywhere because we went into the discussion with the principal and she said, "This is how great year nine is." And I was like, "Is it?"
Yeah, because
my daughter didn't get a year nine.
No, because
you know. COVID. And then one of my friends was like, "Oh, I haven't actually ever been in here. My daughter's in year eight, but we weren't allowed to do tours."
No.
And I was like, "There's triggers everywhere."
Oh, yeah. It's.
Yeah, I just wanted to go, year nine, whatever.
Yeah, we didn't have one. We were at home.
But I was like, no one cares, Mandy, because I couldn't say it to my grade six friends. They don't care.
No.
But, I was just like, oh, gosh, everywhere we go. Anyway, that's how did Lizzie get Prego? Made me laugh.
So, I just remember being like 16 or something and someone would get pregnant at school and they'd be like, Janice is Prego.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard the phrase Prego. So I'm glad it's still there.
It's still there. Well, at my public school it is.
Maybe it's an eastern suburbs Yarra Valley Bogan thing, but I love it.
So. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, thank you.
We just want to say thank you for the people that are giving us donations towards
we
our
really
booklets.
We really do because.
Yeah, because I've been going to the post office a lot and it does cost a bit of money to send
them. It does.
Them, which we're happy to do, but we're very grateful for the people that give us some little donations, so thank you very much.
That's on our website. You can always go and know that money that you donate, it doesn't go to me painting my nails.
No.
It goes to the booklets and posting them out.
Yeah.
And sometimes Mandy and I do live speaking gigs to places that can't pay. Of course, we can't do them every week because we desperately need money.
Yeah.
But that can also help us pay for petrol to get there or
that's
something.
Right.
So
we did 2 speaking gigs this week. It was amazing.
Thank you for everyone who sent us speak pipes last week for International Pee Week.
Thank you for International Pee Week.
Yes.
What a week.
What a week it was. We didn't do a snap pee on Monday because we thought you are over us. But we'll be back next week.
We will be back. So hope you enjoyed this episode. See you.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.